Jesus is working among mortals now as he did when on earth, and although they cannot see his physical form or hear his voice of love in tones of benediction and pleading, yet the influence of his love is felt and the persuasion of his spirit voice is heard in the hearts of men. He is still the Savior of men as he was on earth, and his mission will not cease until the closing of the celestial kingdom, and sin and error shall be eradicated from earth and from the spirit world. He will be the triumphant and conqueror over sin and everything that tends to pervert man from that which is good and righteous. Man, having only his natural love, will be freed from all in harmony and live as brothers and friends in peace and happiness. And spirits having the divine love, become as angels of God, and live forever in the bliss of the celestial heavens. So I urge upon all men to seek the divine love of the Father and live in his presence forever. I must stop now, but before I go let me say, that I am working with the Master in the great cause that will make men who seek this love, one with the Father. So I will say as your brother in Christ, good night. John Garner, Christian preacher of England in the time of the Reformation, I am here, Saint Peter. I want to tell you that you are very near the Father tonight and that his love is filling your soul to a great degree. I see that you are anxious to learn of the spiritual things of the Father and of his love towards you and all mankind. You must pray for more faith and trust implicitly in his promises, and in the promises of the Master, for they will be fulfilled and you will not be disappointed or left to yourself. I am with you quite often now, for I want to assist in the great work that Master has chosen you to do, and you must get into a condition that will enable you to do this work in the greatest perfection. Your soul must be developed with this divine love of the Father, so that you will be in accord with the Master when he writes, for unless there is such accord you will not be able to get the spiritual meanings of his messages as he wants you to do. There is nothing that will cause this development as well as earnest, sincere prayer to the Father. With such prayer will come faith, and with faith will come the substance of what you may now only believe. So pray often, believing that the love of the Father will come to you and you will realize your oneness with him. I am so much interested in you and your soul development that I am going to help you with all my love and power. Let not the things of the world distract your attention from these spiritual necessities, and you will find that all these material things will be supplied you. Be firm and courageous in your beliefs and professings and God will be with you in every hour of trial and distress. This I know and tell you as one having knowledge. I want you to let your faith increase until doubt shall flee away, and only trust in the love and goodness of God remain with you. I will not write more tonight. So with all my love and blessings I am your own friend and brother in Christ, Street, Peter. I am Josephus. I am the Jewish historian and now a Christian. You are not a man to let alone. I mean that I must write some of my knowledge of the things of those ancient days, for I see that you are selected to do a great work and I want to contribute to the truth of Jesus' life on earth. He lived just before I wrote, but I had heard of him many times, and I know that he was a real existing being. In my history of the Jews I mentioned him, and when the learned say that what is thus said is interpolated, they say what is not true, for he did live and taught in Palestine as the New Testament claims. I never met him, but the wonders of his works were circulated all over the country and caused much agitation on the part of the leaders of the Jews. I never wrote much about him, because we all looked upon him as a mere agitator and destroyer of our religion and to such we never gave much notoriety in our writings. But this same Jesus of Nazareth lived as a man and was crucified by the Romans at the clamor of the Jews. I want to tell you this, because it is claimed that he never lived on earth. I am a follower of him, and believe in his teachings and have received the new birth that he taught. I live in the celestial heavens where only his followers live. He was the true Son of God, and his, 175, the Paget Messages 1915, mission was to show men the way to God's love and to declare the rebestowal of the divine love. I tell you that this is the most important truth in all the heavens, except this, that God is love. These two constitute the hope of mankind and furnish the means by which man may acquire immortality. Without this new birth, men will remain merely men, and will not partake of the divine love, and the home in the celestial spheres. I say this, because I know from experience what this new birth means, and from observation, that those who have never received it cannot enter these spheres. So man must believe this great truth. Many Jews have become believers since becoming inhabitants of the spirit world, but the large majority of the inhabitants of the celestial heavens are those whom we call Gentiles. God had no chosen people in the sense that He designed to save any particular nation in preference to all others. He knows no preference. All are His children, and the great gift is for all who ask for it in faith. I must not write more tonight, but with your permission will come again. Vespasian is a Christian now, but he never was while on earth, notwithstanding that it was said that he was. He continued a pagan as long as he lived, but he knew something of the Christian teachings, and after he had been in the spirit world a considerable time he received the light and was born again. He is in the celestial heavens and a follower of the Master. So you see, many Jews and Gentiles and pagans who rejected the Master and his teachings on earth have since becoming spirits, had the opportunity, and embraced it, of becoming partakers of the divine love and followers of the Master. Well, you may be surprised to know that Herod is also a Christian. But no pen can portray the sufferings that he had to undergo. Oh, the long years of repentance and torment and darkness! His experience was a hell indeed. But the love and mercy of the Father were even sufficient for his redemption, and among all the spirits of our celestial heavens, none are more humble and meek than is this same Herod. His life, voluntarily assumed, is one of service and devotion to the Master. I think that his love for the Master is so great, that even he cannot appreciate it. I will, with all my love and earnestness, accept your invitation, for the work is of the greatest importance and the time is ripe. Oh, what an 176 awakening there will be when the truths of God, which the Master is communicating through you, shall come to the knowledge and consciousness of mankind. I am your brother in Christ, and a fellow worker, and so I will say with all my love and best wishes, good night, Josephus. I am here, Street Celestia. I was a Christian woman who was martyred by the fanatic Church of Rome. I lived in Italy and was a follower of Jesus, but not a believer in the doctrines of the Romish Church. It was long years after my death that I was canonized by the very church which killed me. Of course, the Pope and officials who canonized me were different from those who killed me. I want to tell you that I am interested in your mission and am trying to help you do the work of the Master. He is the Savior of mankind, and it must be taught in what manner He is their Savior. Not as the Jesus who died on the cross, not because His blood was spilled by the Roman soldiers, not because of any vicarious atonement, but because He brought to the light and knowledge of men the fact that the Father had, after long centuries when He had withdrawn the great gift of the divine love, re-bestowed it and taught the way in which men might become partakers of that love, even, only, by prayer and faith. The soul of man is the one thing that enables him to become like the Father and is the most important part of man's creation. If men will understand this and learn that this soul is capable of receiving this divine love and becoming a part of God's divinity, they will fully realize the mission of the Master in coming to earth. Let men abandon the idea that Jesus came as a sacrifice for their sins. He came as a messenger from God, bringing the divine gift and the knowledge as to how man might obtain that gift. He did not come to pay any debt which man owed the Father or to appease any wrath of the Father. Because man owed no debt and God had no wrath towards him, he came as a mediator in the sense that he was a messenger of light and truth and a shower of the way. Why will men continue to cling to the old damnable doctrine of sacrifice? Even in the days of Abraham, God never required a sacrifice for sin, and no sin of man was ever removed by shedding the blood of a goat or any other animal. To teach and believe such a dogma places God on the plane of an angry and jealous God and makes Him satisfied with the Paget Messages 1915, trifling thing of having the blood of an animal shed to appease His anger and remove His jealousy. God is now and has been from the beginning a God of love, and man is and has been the object of that love. But unless man seeks that love and opens up his soul to the inflowing of that love, he can never become reconciled to God. Love cannot be obtained in the soul of man by anything other than the desire and will of man to have it come into his soul. God wants only the love of man, not his fear or dread of consequence because of disobedience. So I say, let men know that there is only one thing in all the universe that will reconcile him to God, and that is the opening up of the soul of man to the inflowing of the divine love and the prayer to God that such love may come into his soul. I do not know that I can say more tonight and will stop, but sometime I will come again and write further. My home is in the celestial heavens far above the spirit world. Question by Mr. Paget. Well, we are all working with the Master, and where he leads we follow and work also. If you will pray and believe, you will most assuredly. Yes, we all pray for you, and our prayers ascend to the Father with all earnestness and faith. You would be surprised to know the number of celestial spirits who are interested in and are praying for you. I will surely tell him, but as you say, he knows it already, but as you wish me to do so, I will, and I know that he loves you too, and wants you to become his true disciple. I will say good night. Your friend and sister in Christ, Street Celestia. I am here, Loyola the Jesuit. Yes, I am a follower of the Master and a very weak one. I was a persecutor of those who differed from me in my views of religious things and duty, and as a consequence was the cause of the death of many a true Christian as I see the truth to be. And on earth my followers now in many parts of the world have the same bitter feelings against all who do not think as they do upon religious matters, and were it not for the laws of the countries in which they live they would do as I did. How I have suffered since I became a spirit for all the evil which I inflicted on mankind when I lived on earth in what I thought then was a religious cause. But thank God, even my sins have been forgiven, and I am now an inhabitant of my Father's kingdom. But oh, the long years of bitter 177, suffering and remorse, and the darkness of blackest night that I lived in among howling devils and lost souls as they thought. But now I know that God's mercy is so wide that the greatest sinner may be saved and receive the great love of the Father. I write this because I have never before communicated to a mortal in this way, and I want to give warning to the world, and especially to my followers on earth, that the truths of God are eternal and will live forever, and that no persecution in the name of truth will meet the approval of God or save from punishment and torment those who engage in it, no matter how honest they may think themselves to be, or how much they believe that they are doing their duty to God. God has given to every man a free will which even he does not attempt to curb or bind, and no mere creature of his has any right to say to a man that he shall or shall not believe this or that, and exercise his will according to the enforced or seeming belief. No, man is a free agent and can do as he pleases in regards to his beliefs, and even God will not force him to believe, but when he believes that which is not true he will certainly have to pay the penalties of his erroneous beliefs. Because the truths of God are fixed, and with these truths operate laws that are inexorable, and men who fail to conform to the requirements of these laws must pay the penalties to the last farthing. Change and are supreme. I am now a redeemed spirit through the grace of God, and have realized what His love means, and I am an inhabitant of the celestial heavens, but not because of my works on earth, but because of the great overshadowing love of the Father. So I say, seek the truth as it may be found in Jesus' teachings, and shun the dogmas and creeds of the churches as you would a poisonous thing of death. I will stop now, but thank you for the opportunity of making this my confession. So with all my kindest wishes, I am your brother in Christ, Loyola. The Jesuit. I am here, Solomon. I am an ex-sultan of the Mohammedans. I do not know time, but about 400 years ago. Yes, I am still a follower of the Prophet, and I am in our paradise and happy. God is great. Allah is his name, and Muhammad is his Prophet. I had a desire to learn what the writers who have written you tonight might say, and so I stayed, the Paget Messages 1915, and listened to them and found that their doctrines of the divine love of the Father are new to me. The Mohammedans do not understand this love, and when I heard that it gave such bliss to those who possessed it, I became interested and wondered what it really meant. We have not this love, and our happiness comes to us from our brotherly love and our worship of Allah and our devotion to His Prophet. As I wondered, the thought came to me that we should have been taught to know what this love means, and if our Allah is not such a loving God as the God that these spirits tell of. I am going to inquire into this, because if there be a greater happiness than what I now have, I want to learn about it, and if it exists, to become a partaker of it. We don't have much intercourse with the celestial spirits, as our heavens are separate from theirs, and we believe that we have the true heavens and are the chosen of God, and that all these celestials are in the dark. Well, these celestial spirits seem to be brighter and more beautiful than do the spirits in our heavens, and that has caused me to think, also. I knows that in our heavens the higher we progress the more beautiful we become and the brighter we seem to be, and that the condition of the progress of the individual determines his appearance, and, knowing this, I have come to think that these followers of Jesus live in a higher or more progressive heaven than ours. I am dissatisfied now, and I will investigate. Can you tell me the best way to do so? Yes, some are who have not written. I will do so. There is one here, a beautiful woman, who says she is your grandmother. I will ask her, and maybe she can start me on my investigation. Well, I will say good night. I will certainly come again. Your friend, Solomon. I am here, Helen. Well, my dear, you have had a great many writings tonight and you must feel tired, and I will not keep you, though I should like to tell you of my love and my desire for your love. But I must stop. Paget asked if Solomon had visualized his grandmother. Yes, he was, and I am interested in him. Your grandmother is talking to him now. I hope that he may see the light. With all my love, I am your own true and loving, Helen. August 10, 1915. I am here, John the Baptist. I came to tell you that I am now a harbinger of the Master as I was when on earth, and that he is the true Jesus who writes to you in all the communications which you received signed by him or by his name. I do this that you may believe and not doubt the messages that you receive. He has written you, and you must rely on what he says, for what he has said to you will surely come to pass. I am the same John who appeared in Palestine and announced his coming, and as I told them what was actually to take place, so I tell you what is actually taking place, and you will not only receive the messages of truth which he will write you, but they will also be distributed to all mankind wherever the written languages of the world exist and are spoken or written. So you have before you a wonderful and important mission, and one that will do more to make true brothers and lovers of the Father than anything that has happened since the Master was on earth and taught and preached the truths of his Father, and did good to physical man. I sometimes have wondered why you should have been selected, as I see that your soul development has not been nearly as great as that of many other men who now live and have lived, but as he has made the selection, we must understand that he knows what is best, and that his selection must be the right one. As a consequence of this, all we who are his followers in the celestial world are trying our best to forward the cause and help you, and I must tell you that you have behind you in this great work, supporting and maintaining you, more spiritual power than any mortal has ever had before. This may sound to you surprising, but it is true. So, my brother, for such I must call you now, try to acquire a faith in the love and desire of the Father to save all mankind from the errors of their lives and to make them one with him, that will enable you to stand forth as the representative of the Master and the authoritative teacher of these great truths. I am now in the celestial heavens and am very close to Jesus in his home and in his love for the Father and for all humanity. I have powers which are great in love, which is of the divine essence of the Father, and what I tell you now I will tell to the world when the opportunity presents itself. Your brother in Christ, John the Baptist. 178, The Paget Messages, 1915. I am here, Latagus. I was a native of Arabia and lived before the time of Abraham, the Jewish patriarch. I come to you tonight to tell you that before the Jewish Testament was written, I had written a book containing a description of creation and of the fall of man, and that the book of Genesis was copied after my writings, which were founded on traditions older than were the description of Genesis. These descriptions of the creation of the world were not the works of men inspired by the angels or by any other instrumentalities of God, but were the results of the imaginations of the minds of men who lived long before I lived, and who left only tradition of their writings or teachings. I say all this to show you that the world has existed for many thousands of years longer than the account of its creation in the Jewish scriptures would lead you to think. I don't know when it was created, and I have not found any spirit in the spiritual world who does know. Of course, no spirit would know of his own knowledge, because in the natural order of things, man must have been created subsequent to the creation of those things which were necessary for his sustenance and comfort. I have never seen any angels who were not at one time mortals, and hence I could not learn from them when the world was created, and I have never seen any angels or spirits to whom God has made this revelation. So I say the creation of the world, or rather any account of it, is all a matter of speculation and tradition. Yes, I have been informed as to the fall of man. My information is as follows: when man was created, he was made twofold, that is, the were male and female beings, which was intended to make a perfect one without losing any individuality on the part of either. Their names were not Adam and Eve, but Aman and Aman, which meant the male Am and the female Am, Am meaning the exalted creation of God. These beings were made perfect physically and spiritually. But these souls were not possessed of all the qualities of the great creator soul, and in that particular were inferior to the great creator. But as regards this soul part of their creation, they were made in the image of their creator. The physical or spiritual part of their creation was not in the image of their creator, for he had no physical or spiritual body. But their soul part was only made in the image of their creator, and not of the substance, but this image was given a potentiality of obtaining or receiving the substance of the soul qualities of their creator, and provided, if they pursued that 179 course in their existence or living which would cause their souls to receive in accordance with certain operations of the laws which their creator had prescribed, this soul substance. And only in obedience to these laws or their operations could this substance of the creator soul be obtained. Well, these creatures were not equal to the test, or rather requirements, and after living a while they became possessed of the idea that they needed not to comply with these prescribed laws, but could of their own will and power obtain this substance by doing that which they had been forbidden by these laws to do, and so in their efforts to obtain this substance or divine love they disobeyed these laws, and, as a consequence, these potentialities of obtaining the substance of the creator soul were taken from them, and then they became beings still possessed of the spiritual and physical forms and continued souls, but not of these great potentialities, and this was the fall of man. The story of the apple is a myth. No apple or anything else that was intended to be eaten formed any part of the fall. It was wholly the fall of the soul's potentialities. The disobedience was the great unlawful desire on the part of these two, to obtain this soul substance before, in accordance with the operations of the laws prescribed, they were fitted or in condition to receive it, and as a consequence, they became disobedient, and being possessed of wills which were not in any way bound or limited by their creator, they exercised these wills in accordance with their desires. And from this disobedience the wills of men and women have continued to act in accordance with their desires and in violation of the great laws of truth, which were made for the two creatures at the time of their creation and are the same unchangeable laws of this time. The sole substance that these two forfeited was the divine love of their creator, which, had they by their obedience became possessed of, would have made them a part of his divinity, and thence like him not only in image but in substance and reality. The potentiality that was taken from them was the privilege which they had to obtain this soul substance or divine love by complying with obedience which these laws prescribed. So you see, the story of Genesis is merely symbolical. I have nothing further to say tonight. I live in a sphere which is part of the celestial heavens. I have, through the mercy of God and his gift, declared by Jesus, received this potentiality and through it the soul substance which our first parents forfeited. The name which I have given, the Paget Messages 1915, you was mine when on earth. It is Arabic and nothing else. You must know that many of the names of my time were in after centuries incorporated in the nomenclature of other nations and races. So I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Lategus. I am here Amos, Amos the prophet. I merely want to say that I have heard the message of the Spirit who wrote last, and that it may be a true account of creation and the fall of man, but that I prefer the story in Genesis. Of course I don't know that the latter is true, but it reads better to me, and as I was taught to believe it when on earth, I must accept the other until I have good reasons to believe otherwise. I never saw him before, but he is a very beautiful and high spirit and lives in the celestial heavens as I do, but not in the same sphere. I have never seen the first parents, nor have I heard where they may be, if that spirit has knowledge of the past. Well, it is true that we never own this divine love until after the coming of Jesus, and of course the first parents possibly could not have received much after Jesus came, and they may not have progressed to the highest celestial spheres. I have never seen them. Well, as to the apple, of course, partly that may be merely symbolical, but the theory of the fall, whether Eve gave it to Adam or not, I do not know. I must not write more, but I want to say that I am a follower of Jesus and have that divine love. I will now stop. With all my love, I am yours in spirit, Amos 11. Lot, of the Old Testament. I come because I now am a follower of the Master, and want to add my testimony to that of others of olden times who have written you that Jesus is alive and the ruler in the celestial heavens, and is now working among men and spirits to show them the way to eternal life, and the divine love of the Father. I'm not a Hebrew who would have denied him had I lived when he came to the earth, for in my thoughts and belief, I expected the coming of the Messiah, and to me Jesus was that Messiah in all the qualities and spiritual possessions that I. This is a message that has not been published in any of the original four volumes. 11. Expected him to have. Of course, when I lived we had not the privilege of knowing what the divine love of the Father means. We only knew that there was a God and that God loved us as we thought, as his chosen people, and wanted us to live correct lives on earth, and thereby receive his blessings as mortals, and all the rewards that an obedient life might bring to us. But as to this greater love which makes angels of us all who possesses it, we had no knowledge, nor had we ever been taught by our seers or prophets that such a love existed, and as I now know, the privilege of obtaining it did not then exist. Only with the coming of Jesus came that love again to man and spirits. But God had for us a natural love in contradistinction to the divine love, and we had for him a love which when fully purified makes us spirits with a happiness that is beyond all conception of human happiness. But even of that happiness we were not taught, and only did we have glimpses in the teachings of our prophets that such happiness might exist in the future life. I was a lover of God as I then understood what God was. But such love was not that which arose from my conception of him as a tender loving father, but more as a stern wrathful God, one of jealousy and always watchful and ready to punish for disobedience to his commands. And yet we also learned that when we obeyed him and did his will he would reward us. So you see, the God of my days and the God of the present, as we now conceive him to be, are not similar. And all men should now understand and believe that Jesus Christ brought to light, and by that I mean to the knowledge of men, the possibility of their knowing the true God of love and mercy, and also, that because of that love and his great mercy and the re-bestowal upon mankind of the possibility of men becoming possessed of the divine love of the Father which would make them one with him and with certainty of immortality. It was long years after Jesus came before I received this divine love or believed the great truths which Jesus taught. I was so satisfied in my happiness as a spirit possessing merely this natural love which had been purified and freed from sin and error, that I thought there could be no greater love or no greater happiness. But in the course of time I had reasons to think that there might be another, if not greater, love in operation in the spirit world, because of the wonderful beauty and brightness or some of the spirits that I at times met. And I started to make investigation of the matter, and as a result, I learned of this divine 180, the Paget Messages 1915, love, and at last sought for and found it. And what a treasure I found! I'm now so filled with it that my happiness is beyond all conception of not only man, but of spirits who live in lower spheres than I do. I must not write more tonight, but I will tell you that I am one of the many celestial spirits who are interested in and now are engaged in doing the great work for the redemption of mankind. Jesus is our leader and we are all following him in the effort to redeem the world, and by that I mean the individuals who comprise the world. For you must know that redemption is an individual matter and not one that can be accomplished in the way of redeeming a nation or a race as a whole. So you see, Back of this work is the great power of the celestial as well as of the spiritual heavens. I have written enough for tonight. Well, the incident of my wife turning into a pillar of salt is like a great many others related in the Old Testament. These incidents are mere figures of speech used to illustrate some moral or spiritual truth. My wife was never turned into salt, but died a natural death, and her remains were buried where mine were buried. She is now in the celestial heavens also. So my dear brother, I must say good night, Lot. I am here, Helen.